Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to this special bulletin of the Calypso Cigar Review Podcast. I am Brandon Luna.
I'm Randy Rankin.
And we have some special guests with us today.
Yes, we do. Easy for you to say.
Yep, exactly. We have Brian Holtzworth.
House How Revealia. About Brandon Holtzworth, since Brandon, his name's the same as
crap,
yours?
Monkey balls.
How hard is it to screw that up?
Yeah, no, I'm starting over.
He's too vain to let us ride that one out.
Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to this special bulletin of the Calypso Cigar Review Podcast. I am Brandon Luna.
I am Randy Rankin.
And I am Brian Holtzworth.
Brandon Holtzworth with House of Emilio has joined us today. We have a full panel today.
We've got some legends in the industry here.
We do, to discuss the FDA's hose-over
bullshit
of the cigar industry. Today with us. Wow.
God, you're good. Keep going, man. It's going great.
This is awesome so far. Today with us great. We have William Cooper of Cigar Coop.
Welcome, William. Hey, guys, thank you very much for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Thanks for joining us.
And he's also on Stogie Geeks, one of my favorite other podcasts out there.
Oh, so you know my bosses, Chris and Kyle?
Yes.
Yeah, they're good dudes, man.
Yep, yep. They've been on the show.
Okay.
Very supportive of us, yep.
And also today we are visited by Kirk from Poolside Cigar Reviews.
How you doing, everybody? Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us, Kirk.
And he won't sound like he's talking through a fan today because he bought a land cable. And also from Blind Man's Puff, we are joined again by Emmett Malone and Aaron Lewis. Emmett Malone's a little green in the gills today.
Yeah, I'm feeling really Irish today. I don't know why.
And say hello, Aaron. Or not.
Hello, Aaron.
Hello, Aaron.
Did he freeze up?
He froze up.
Can you hear me now?
No, he's there.
Aaron, can you say hello?
Can you hear me?
I can see him moving.
Yeah, we got you.
Here you know. Right,
okay, your name's gone.
You hear me now? Okay. Yeah, I'm going to add it back in.
There we go.
Okay, right. All right.
So even though he didn't say hello to us, we'll still let him be on the show.
Yeah,
you have to put quarters in that thing to keep it going? What's going on with
possibly.
Yeah.
So we are here on a serious issue today. The FDA put out a deeming document that basically is got a crap ton of regulations on cigars, and so we wanted to give our 2 cents on that and get the info out to the listeners so they can actually get an idea of what all the legal jargon means and break it down for them and actually give them a method to help the way right. the best way that they can.
Yeah, to contact the FDA and let them know their feelings.
So both you guys have a lot of great information up on your sites, Cigar Coop and Blind Man's Puff. First thing I wanted to talk about,
and don't forget, Kirk also has done an
episode. Kirk did do a quick little episode there as well on his feelings on this subject. So, what to you guys is the primary issue that you have with the ruling? What's the one thing that stands out to you that just needs to go away?
I think the $10 price tag is ridiculous on what qualifies a premium cigar. I think $4 would be more reasonable, but still, that gets rid of a lot of my favorite bargain cigars, but $10 is out of control.
Totally agree.
Does anyone have any idea on how that's going to skew everything? Because that's going to make the cheapest cigar. So take, that brand that you would never buy, and now that's $10.
Yeah.
Now take your super premium, and if you have that $10 price point as the nil or the zero, you're going to tack on that additional price. So let's say your favorite cigar is $8 or $9. That's going to make your favorite cigar $18 or $19.
Well, I don't know if that's the case. I would assume that what happened is the market wouldn't buy those cheap cigars, and your Padrones of the world would, if they were smart, what I would do is hold my price steady and say, well, you can buy a Padrone for $12. You can buy a Ron Mexico for $10. You decide. That's how I would do it.
Well, it would depend on.
Sorry to play devil's advocate.
No problem, but we haven't even heard how they're going to tax this. So if they're taxing it at a higher rate, then obviously it will go up to it. You will have to do what Brandon was talking about and charge $18-$19 for an $8 stick.
What annoys me to no end is that this is a 241-page document, mm-hmm. and the government has a habit of doing this, where they'll come up with one subject that they want to address, but then sneak in 15, 20 other things
absolutely.
To say, okay, if you pass this, which is really what we're trying to get passed, you're also going to pass all this other crap.
Mm-hmm.
And that just seems to be the methodology on everything they do over there, unfortunately. I could see Will Cooper holding his tongue over there.
Let us have it, Will. Bring it. Bring the heat.
I mean, the fact that this is foundational, and they said this is foundational, it's the start of the storm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've seen this happen with anti-tobacco. That's been their approach. They go for some, and then they come back for more.
Yep.
So I have a lot of concerns, obviously, about the whole definition of a tobacco product, not just the $10 thing. I mean, the long filler thing concerns me as well. That's a big part of the industry. You know, mixed filler cigars, a lot of companies depend on selling those tobaccos. Mm. It's important for budget price cigars. So that's something that alarms me. I think the $10 thing, I want to be optimistic and say that may just fall apart. But the long filler thing scares me a little more.
The what part? I didn't hear you.
Long filler.
The long filler. So, probably my voice. Long filler. Yep. So that was one of the when they mentioned the under option two, what they're defining as a premium cigar. Mm-hmm. If you look in the document, that was item number three. Yeah. So, I have a big issue with that right now. A lot of companies are dependent on mixed filler cigars are an important part of the industry too.
Yeah, they are because they keep costs low. A lot of the American public wants to speak, let's be honest, there's a lot of, is it misogyny? Is that the word I'm looking for?
I think so, yeah.
When these companies make their long filler cigars, there's a lot of stuff that falls on the ground. And if you're going to just throw all that away, well, you're throwing a lot of money right down the toilet.
Sure. Yeah,
and
sure.
One of the American misnomers is that if it's not a 100% long filler cigar, it's not a great cigar. Now, while House of Emilio and Ezra Zion only used, this is my shameless self-promotion,
yes,
they only use, double grade A, very aged tobaccos, there's still all that stuff that doesn't make it into the cigar, mm-hmm. And if that's not sold, you're going to see the cost of your 100% long filler cigars go through the roof.
Yeah.
Right, and I look at, for example, under House Familio, Guaycon, Noel's got the factory, he's building that new factory, and I'm sure he's going to have a lot of leftover tobacco, and I'm sure that's going to, he could sell that, and I'm sure that's going to help him. So that could affect his bottom line in producing that premium product that we're more accustomed to, that maybe we talk about more.
Yep.
Especially with Guaycon. I mean, the shameless self-promotion is over. I already did that. But, for the price points, I mean, Guaycon's what, $6.50, yeah. $7? Mm-hmm. I mean, to keep those prices low, I mean, a lot of people don't realize that every stem, every piece of this tobacco gets used, whether it's used in cigarettes or these green insecticides. Every bit of this is sold to another company, in turn keeping their costs low.
Right. Now, one thing I'm going to be with join Kirk here and play devil's advocate on one issue that I don't have a problem with. The 6 pounds for 1,000 cigars is fine because that eliminates your DeJarms and your little cigars. And when I say fine, I don't mean I like it. I'm just saying I can understand it because they are defining premium cigars. But, the fact that they think that this cigar that I'm smoking is the same thing as a DeJarm or a Swisher Sweet little cigar is ridiculous. It's just insane.
On the other side of that, though, you have to remember that the American government and these special interest groups do a separate and attack. So, okay, we get rid of flavored cigars today. That destroys Drew Estates right off the bat. And, JD is, I wouldn't say we're great friends, but I have a huge appreciation for the man and everything he's done for this industry. But, you start off by saying, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to get rid of flavored cigars because kids love them, which is absolutely false. Mm-hmm. So what you do is you've taken the pie, and then you take a slice out of it, and the pie gets smaller.
Yeah.
So, okay, now we're going to get rid of short filler cigars, or we're going to make it so that to have a short filler cigar, you have to donate so many thousand cigars to the government to go through and find out whether or not it's a good product. And then they're going to get rid of that. And then what are we left with? We're left with super premium cigars that are going to start at $10 a piece.
Yeah. And when I say I was okay with that, I just meant that if they're going to do anything, that one doesn't bother me as much. But you know me, yeah. I'm anti-government sticking their nose in anything, so I'm totally pissed off that we're even having to do this episode.
My kids are more interested. My son is more interested in porn than he is in cigars.
Yeah.
My job as a parent is to make sure that he doesn't look at that porn unless I'm not around.
So, Anna, you wrote a great article, and you put it on Facebook, and I read it. Why don't you set it up for the listeners and kind of give us the point-by-point breakdown so that our listeners know exactly what we're talking about. Under the bus.
Well, basically, I mean, there's two different options that they're looking at, and we're all talking as if they're going to go with the one that wouldn't screw the industry over as much. But, I mean, worst case scenario, I mean, they could ban free samples, which would totally destroy, you know, what we do. We couldn't get our samples from manufacturers to review.
Brandon's job.
My job's gone at that point.
IPCPR would be gone. I mean, I don't know how they would expect to sell cigars without, you know, allowing retailers to try it first. That scares the hell out of me too. And you know, that's worst case scenario. I can't remember what all the option one would get rid of. Let's see.
Option one was every cigar and e-cigarette and anything, hookah, whatever,
yeah, so,
is under the microscope.
So there would also be labeling requirements, you know, covering up the whole box with warnings about how you're going to die if you smoke it. Ingredient disclosure, I'm not sure how that would affect us too much. But
Have you seen the cigar packs that they sell in other countries with these logos on it? I mean, they show throat cancer patients on the cigar package.
Yeah.
Guys with breathing tubes. I mean, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
And part of the allure of cigars is the romanticism of it. And you want to see the nice label, the nice bands and the nice boxes. And you don't want to see a throat cancer patient on there.
My question is, who are they getting away from that freedom of speech, the art aspect of this in the Constitution? Because there is a true art to rolling cigars, the blending of cigars. And then you also have to take in all of the logos, all of the artwork that's on the boxes, because, let's be honest, there are some of these cigars that have been around for so long that the artwork is iconic.
Fuente.
Yeah. Or, you know, Monte Cristo or some of this. You know, the whole aspect of saying that you can't have artwork on a band is pretty much, that's anti-constitutional to begin with.
Yeah. But when is this government worried about constitutional over the last 4 years?
I get a lot of people, you know, like in different parts of the country, they'll say, oh, it's the Republicans, they're doing this to us. Oh, it's the Democrats. But the truth of the matter is it's special interest groups that are very, very minute.
Yeah.
If you travel down a highway, you'll see a sign that says something about the tobacco industry wanting, you know, they're making a killing off of you. And then it's got a picture of a coffin. I've been in this industry for a couple years now, and you know, the whole thing about this is you don't want your customers to die. Now, there's never all of these, the factoids and all of the surveys, these are also done by special interest groups that are paid by people to find out the negative things. I mean, this is like global warming. They don't have 100% proof on any of this. And if I get long-winded, just always cut me off.
No,
hey, Brandon, I want to talk too. Good, I like that.
Brandon, that's a good point. And what really, you know, there's been a lot of misinformation and, you know, hey, tobacco-free kids is one of them leading the charge. And that's what's concerning me about the 75-day period right now, because they're going to have a chance to just start plastering more of this misinformation out there.
Yep.
You know, not only that, but you got 75 days of the public being able to voice their opinion on it, but have you gone to the site and actually tried to look at what they want you to do this?
Oh, yeah, it's a pain in the ass.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. You know, and cigar smokers, you know, I know for me, we're pretty laid-back people. You know, you got to make it easy for us to go, like what the CRA does. You know, you go to the CRA and you sign up, and you go there, and all the senators are listed. You click your button, and you send your email out, and that's easy. They're not making it that way at all.
They're making it a
chore to go there and try and defend yourself on this.
They're making it very clear. Do not do a cookie-cutter letter.
Yeah.
I'm very concerned. I really want the guidance to come out from IPCPR and CRA, which I know they will put out. That's not the issue, but I think it's very important that guidance comes out first before, you know, we start hitting that site, so we have the right direction there.
Yeah, very true.
Agreed.
Very true.
Agreed.
The $10 price point was a big point of contention for me, just because, you know, premium cigars, I mean, you can have a $7, $5 premium cigar, and what's funny is the Cigar Aficionado, I don't know if you saw their article on this, but it actually almost skewed positive. It was like, hey, they're not going to take cigars away from us, you know, and then they had the guy from Christoph on there who's like, yeah, you know, I'm glad they didn't go after the premium stuff because his stuff's like, you know, $10, $15, so he's not worried about it. That just kind of worries me.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly how I took that article, too.
Mm-hmm.
Half of his article was pretty positive about it, too. I was surprised to see them so up about it.
It's not right now, you know. I mean, I know the boutique community has been a little quiet right now. I'm sure they're kind of trying to digest it, but I would have loved to see a few boutiques interviewed for that Cigar Aficionado story.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, so I'll address another aspect of, I think this is proposal two, but Dan, forgot where I was going with that. I sounded so official on my
registration.
What was disclosure. It? Oh, yeah, the process of them reviewing the cigar. So you're gonna have to. So Brandon and I decide to blend a cigar. We're gonna have to pay between $10,000 and $20,000 to the FDA to review our cigar, and it could take them up to 2 years to get to the cigar to approve us. Meanwhile, we're broke because we waited 2 years and we've spent all this money blending our cigar. And I know, Kirk, you were talking something about that earlier, too.
Yeah, and, you know, I think what that does is it leaves, basically, it excludes all the small players from the market. So you're left with your Philip Morris or whoever they are now. I don't know what their name is anymore. But you're left with the big guys who can afford that time and that money. And then you're blocking out all the boutiques. And basically, I wouldn't be surprised if some of the big players, you know, didn't oppose this at all and were actually in favor of it because right. They know they have the resources to get through this maze and no one else does. And then, you know, they're left holding the basket and they're happy.
Yeah, at that point you have a bunch of...
Yeah. Get rid of R&D departments. You get rid of competition. You get Absolutely. Rid of so many aspects here. And, you know, if you make it so that the only thing that's left is Monte Cristo, Cohiba, and Romeo and Julieta, you know, because they have the money and the staying power to stick around. Mm-hmm. I mean, you shut down the entire industry.
Yeah, you've got Altadis General and Rocky Patel hanging out, you know?
Yeah, and Fuente.
And you know, I hate to be pessimistic about it, to go back to the point about contacting the FDA and leaving comments, or, you know, I don't think, personally, the cigar community or the tobacco community in general has the resources or the manpower or the will to fight something like this directly. I think really what it requires is talking to your neighbors and your coworkers. Because if you compare this to the soda ban in New York as far as the size limitation of fountain drinks or whatever they were, no sodas over 16 ounces, people went apeshit over that. And rightly so. It was stupid. You know, you're an adult. If I want to have a liter of, you know, Mountain Dew, I can have it. And I think if you frame it and you include enough other people in that discussion, to me that's the only way to do it, is to really talk to your friends and neighbors about not the way that it affects tobacco, but how that snowballs to other lifestyle decisions going forward. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I mean, it's a pretty small subculture. And Brandon, you hit the nail on the head about the divide and conquer. I never hear the cigar community bitching about cigarette taxes. And, you know, and I'm not a cigarette smoker, and I don't really care for cigarettes, but, you know, we're not complaining about cigarette taxes, and I think we should be. Because, what, you know, why? Why are cigarettes special? I don't get it.
Yeah, it goes back to prohibition, really, is what it goes back to, because it was the government telling you, this is bad for you and you can't do it. And you saw how that went over. And that's why they're not going after that industry again, because they've already done it and it failed.
And there's more drinkers than there are cigar smokers.
So. And it's politically expedient, because you can always say, well, I'm trying to protect children. I'm trying, you know, and of course, you know, who's going to oppose that, you know, trying to protect children? I mean, no one's going to stand up and say, oh, yeah, I want kids to smoke. But, you know, again, it's a parent's responsibility. And I do think it's, you know, if you have it banned for minors, then you've done your job. Just enforce that and move on.
They can make their decision when they're an adult if they want to smoke.
Yeah, once they reach the age of accountability. Once you reach the age of accountability, you can decide what you want to do. Like with drinking. Once you're 21, if you want to drink, you're fair. You've achieved that level of accountability.
In Arkansas, they passed in a midnight session. They said, we're going to pass a 68%. This was probably about 3 years ago now, I'm thinking. They said, we're going to pass a tobacco tax that's going to make everything across the board, pipe, cigarette, cigar, you know, snuff, snus, whatever you want to call it, 68% just being having a tobacco product in it. Now, when it comes to a capitalistic society, and, you know, if you're just worried about, you know, income and taxes, they had about 30 stores in Arkansas, and they passed it, and most of the retailers didn't find out about it until the next morning. They found out, oh, my goodness, we have now a 68% tax that also included shipping. They went from 30 to 5 stores overnight, and they were decimated. The thing about this was they had people that were still smoking cigars. They were just ordering them online.
Yep.
Now, you know, all that money that could have been taxed and the state making money off of it, I mean, if they would have done it smart, they would have done something different. And it took 3 years of that state, because I was one of the few reps that actually went through Arkansas. And they would tell me, it got to the point where reps didn't even go to the state, because with that 68% tax, if that cigar wasn't $3 or $4, there were places that weren't going to carry it, except for, you know, Romeo's up there in Bentonville. He was in Greg in pipe and tobacco in the Capitol. Mm-hmm. But other than that, their cigar shops, when you walked into them, they were buying the cheapest bundles and just refilling the box that they got on the first order. It just destroyed their whole... it destroyed them for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, it's an infrastructure breakdown at that point.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, I can tell you, back to Brandon talking about the process to actually get your voice heard by the FDA, don't let that be a hindrance. Go ahead and do it. I mean, it's important. We've got to put our voices out there and make it happen. But also to another point that Brandon made, there is a lot of apathy in the cigar community. As I've mentioned on previous episodes, Matt is the owner of the store. He's the president of the Texas Cigar Merchants Association. And it's fighting on the state level, of course, not federal like we're talking about. But anyway, just to show an example, less than a third of the stores in this state are members of the Texas Cigar Merchants Association. And it's like, why would you not join up and help the fight to keep your store alive? But it's apathy. And I know Matt has been asked by IPCPR several times to go up to Washington to campaign for this on the federal level, and he's done it many times. And other retailers have been asked to do this, and they've rejected it. And it's like, why wouldn't you want to go up and fight for this? And I think us as just, you know, regular Joes that smoke cigars, we need to still make our voices heard, regardless if it takes us 15 minutes on the internet. Go out there and do it. Just make your voice heard.
Yeah. The hardest part is getting people to talk about it when they're not at the cigar shop. Now, if you're in Arkansas or you're in one of these states that has had these huge taxes, 68, 70, 75%, the store owners themselves will tell you the reason that these taxes went through and weren't opposed were because the large majority of cigar smokers were lazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy just to sit there in your cigar shop and bitch and complain.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you gotta remember, if you're like a good cigar, it isn't going to be there if you don't say something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people hide behind organizations like the CRA. They're like, well, I did my bid. I signed up for the CRA, and they're fighting for me. But we're beyond that now. I mean, this is down to a personal level
mm-hmm.
where if you don't do your part, yes, the CRA is there, and yes, other organizations
and IPCPR,
to do what they can. But we've got to make more noise than that, because apparently it's not happening.
Aaron, you got something to say? Aaron?
Can we hear him?
Is Aaron frozen again?
He's riveted.
And the other point, too, when you mentioned Kirk about, you know, telling everybody around you about this, here's my thing on this, and I talk to people at work about this, is that people don't want to fight for something they don't like, even if it is something that should be, that the government should have any hand in.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk to people about smoking and smokers, oh, I don't like smoke. It's gross, and you know, if it goes away, I'm fine. It's like, yeah, but that's a freedom that they're taking away from us. That's the government saying, we don't want you to do this because it's bad for you, because we say it's bad for you,
mm-hmm.
and we've got an organization with people behind us that says it's bad, and we're going to knock it down. But, I mean, what if those same people then love Coca-Cola or love McDonald's, and they say, guess what? That's bad for you, too. We're going to tax the crap out of that, and you can only have McDonald's one day a month.
Yeah.
What are these people going to do? Are they going to go, no, they're going to go out and say, okay, hey, this is something I want to fight for.
Well, here's the difference. You got McDonald's, you got Burger King, you got Wendy's. You got a bunch of mega corporations that realize what's on the line, and they're all going to fight for it tooth and nail.
Yeah.
And if you think about the lawsuits that McDonald's alone has gone through, spending $10, $15 million or $1 billion isn't a big deal to someone like this.
Yeah.
Now, with our industry, you do have a bunch of major players, but when it comes to the boutique guys, a good friend of mine, Fred Rui with Nomad, I mean, I guarantee you Fred's going to stand up and he's going to throw every dollar at it, but it isn't going to be anywhere close to $15 or $20 billion.
Right.
You know, this is just his passion.
Yeah, and we've talked about it before that Marvin Samuel from Drew Estate, the last 2 years of his life has been spent in Washington, D.C., trying to prevent what is happening. and you see that it didn't work because they're still doing it anyway. So that, and the reason I'm saying that is because I was just one of a few people, Rocky Patel, whether you like his cigars or not, the guy has been out there fighting for us for a long time. And yeah, he's fighting for himself. He don't want to lose his business, but it's still
a bigger picture.
Yeah, it's a bigger picture. He's helping the industry. He's helping us as consumers be allowed to do what we should be allowed to do anyway because we're grown-ups.
Yeah.
Marvin was telling me, I went out to an event he had at Town and Country, and mm-hmm. he was telling me he had gotten a condo or an apartment or something like that in Washington, D.C., and he was throwing these parties, and all of these, these government officials and all of these people were coming to the parties, and they, you know, they're sitting there smoking up on cigars, drinking his booze, and, you know, oh, yeah, we're going to help you fight the fight. And then the next day they turn around and they're pushing vote against this industry. And, you know, the American people need to know that the constituents work for them. And if they're not working for them, we need to get someone else in there.
Not to be real political, except for that we are. But people forget that we're a representative government.
Yeah.
The government is supposed to represent us and what we want, not the other way around, not dictate to us what they want.
Yeah, that's the way it should be, but yeah. I think really the government represents big business, and that's what it's become.
Yeah.
But it's not a right wing, and it's not a left
wing. No, it's not, because Harry Reid is on our side. Harry frickin' Reid is on our side.
He probably owns a couple stores.
He might, and if he does, more power to him. I don't care.
Yeah. Kerry has resigned on Harry.
There you go. But anyway, so we'll let other people talk. So, Aaron, can you hear me now?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Why don't you pitch in a little bit, see what you think. Give us some thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, we've covered a lot of good stuff, but I think the big thing is really getting the responses out there to make sure that option two is actually what is adopted based on what they put forth, because that's, if option one goes into place, like we were talking about before, pretty much you have just big brands with four lines. Mm-hmm. You have no more limited editions. That's all gone. You know, any of those... small cigar shops that you go into that only carry the big brands and nothing else, that's what every humidor is going to look like at that point, because you're not going to be able to get, any of the small companies can't do it anymore.
Right. So I know here at the store, and Brandon can attest to this because he was a customer at one point. I'm kind of was joking there.
I still am, you jackass.
Joking. But, part of the way you build rapport is to, you have your customers that come in on a frequent basis. You give them a cigar, let them try something else that you know because it's in their flavor profile, and you think, hey, you might like this. Here's you a free cigar. That would kill our ability to create goodwill with our customers. Right. On top of it, killing the reps.
How many times does someone come in the store and say, what do you got that's new?
Oh, it happens all the time.
Our industry has turned into almost like the automotive.
Or the craft beer industry.
Yep. You got a 2013 Ford Taurus? Yeah, I love it. Have you seen the 2014? Oh, man, I don't care about my 2013 anymore. And our industry, I'm not, I like new stuff, but, there's a lot of great stuff that's been around for ages that's just been associated as my dad's cigar, or, that's old. And our industry has turned a lot more into the automotive style industry where it's what's new, what's new. You know, that does keep people talking. Let's be honest, sites like Half Wheel, what would they have to say anymore? What would bloggers have to talk about except for experiences they had with the same cigar that they,
What would Blind Man's Puff, what would Kirk's Cigar Reviews, what would Coop's, us, we wouldn't have anything to talk about.
We'd all be reviewing Habanos.
Yeah.
I would just drink more.
Why do that anyway?
You got any talking points, Coop?
No, I mean, actually, that point about, I built my brand on not just what's new, because the what's new is an important part of the news I cover, but the boutiques I have found have been very, very supportive in terms of what I do and a lot of the media people do. And, the big companies, a lot of times, some of them have been better than others. I don't want to knock all the big companies, but when it's come to contacting them in terms of getting information or getting news stories, the boutiques have been much more friendly to that.
Yeah.
And... that's been I covered a cigar industry 365 days a year. I'd love to continue to do that, and I could not do it without the boutique market.
Absolutely.
So that will change what I do.
Totally agree.
Well, you get so many new faces. You get so many new people with new and exciting stories. when it comes to, well, when you take the beer industry and the cigar industry, there's a whole lot of parallels. So, you know, let's say Company X comes up and their product is hot. They're out there, they're doing the interviews, they're talking to you, and then you have a huge distributorship. Let's talk like Blue Moon with Coors. When Blue Moon first came out, it was an amazing beer. It was delicious.
Yep.
I drank a... Are we allowed to say shit
ton? Shit ton.
Yeah, shit ton of Blue Moon. And then what happens? You have Coors that comes in, buys the name rights, and produces a beer that is kind of similar to it. And that happens in the cigar industry.
Yeah.
All of the new flavors, all of the new stuff that comes out happens from boutiques, which, you know, let's be honest, I was told General tried to buy Padron. You know, these older corporations will come in and hand off a whole bunch of money to buy the boutique, and not saying that General did this, like Coors did, but, you know, then they kind of do their own interpretation on it, and they make it their own, and they pretty much ride the coattails of that company that spent all that time, you know, making a product great.
Tarantino almost died when General took him over. I mean, Tarantino went...
Oh, yeah.
And it's only since they pulled distributorship from from General that now Tarantino's putting out really good stuff. But they almost got buried because of it.
Well, again, you're talking, you're even getting in now to just the general anti-competitive nature of just the consolidations of corporations in this country anyway. And to continue the liquor analogy, I mean, you've got, InBev's got all the beer in the world now, pretty much. Diageo's got all the whiskey in the world. Yeah. And they bastardize everything. You know, they make a lot of boring stuff that appeals to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. They make a lot of money doing it. But, I mean, if I get a bottle of Lagavulin, it's not the same as it was since Diageo bought it. And the packaging is identical to the other Diageo Isla whiskeys. Yeah. You know, they own Kalila. And it's, you know, and I think you would see the same thing eventually. That's why you have General and Altadis. I mean, they are the InBev and the Diageo of the premium cigar industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is from the Deeming document. I'm going to go over some talking points here. And this is the proposed requirements, and we'll, you know, talk to each point here. Number one, wrapped in whole leaf tobacco, which I don't have a problem with.
No.
But, okay, question. Does that mean that then anything like the Candelas, but with the ones that have the two wrappers?
Barber pole.
So barber poles are out?
I'd say no. I mean, there's still two whole leaves, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then contains 100% leaf tobacco filler.
Okay.
That's fine. Number three, contains primary long filler tobacco.
We've discussed that. Yeah,
primarily long filler tobacco. That's fine. Number four, is made by combining manually the wrapper, filler, and binder, which, okay, that's fine. Not for me. Number five, has no filler, tip, or non-tobacco mouthpiece, and is capped by hand. We're still kind of in the area of, you know, premium cigars. Here's the one. Number six, has a retail price after any discounts and coupons of no less than $10 per cigar, adjusted as necessary every 2 years, effective July 1st, to account for any increase in the price of tobacco products since the last price adjustment. Now, that is a loaded statement.
Yep.
So Brandon, I didn't mean to interrupt. There's two points to that. There's point one is, are they going to say, should price be an issue at all is the first thing? And I say no.
I agree.
I mean, you could set the price at $3, and you're going to still have the same problem if they have any price thing in. So I think the $10 thing is horrible and it's ridiculous, but I think the position has to be the price should not be a factor in this.
And that's why I go back to the 6 pounds per thousand cigars aspect, because if you're going to do anything, if that's your guideline, okay, I got that. But why does price have to be an issue in this? That really makes sense.
Six needs to go overall, and that should be one of the main talking points for fighting this thing. You guys have anything else on that? Okay, the price point is one of them, and then adjusting as necessary every 2 years.
Every 2 years, yeah.
That's bad news, you know, because then you can open it up to, even if they knock the price down to, you know, $5 a cigar, you've still got that 2-year adjustment on that price that then leaves the door open for whatever the hell
they're
going to
do next time. Yeah.
Giving an inch is a defeatist attitude.
Okay? Yeah, I agree. Totally agree.
When you go in and say, okay, if it's a homogenized binder, it's not super premium, we're raising the price, you've already accepted some level of defeat.
Exactly.
Right.
Totally agree.
We have to make a stand somewhere. This country was founded on very few things. We had cotton, tobacco, and sugar. Now, where's the sugar production now? Where is 80% of our cotton actually grown now? And if you think about it, a lot of people don't know this. House of Emilio rules. But where I was actually going to say there was Houston actually, I think it was 1700s, 1800s, grew a majority of the cigar tobacco that was consumed in the American continent. Wow. And where is all of our cigar tobacco now? I mean, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, that's
it. Carolina, Virginia.
Yeah, but it's shrinking every year. And you're not even allowed to smoke there. You know, I was in Esteli last month, and I walked into the hotel, and I had a cigar in my mouth. You know, it was a three-hour drive from Managua to the Los Arcos Hotel. And I walked in, and, you know, you've had a cigar in your mouth for so long, and everyone else is smoking. I walked into the hotel, and I thought, oh, man, I got this stick in my mouth. And then I looked around, and then I realized, these people aren't trying to run industry out of their country. They accept and embrace it. Now, if we take the California model and just throw Sriracha out there, Sriracha is a huge... Now, I don't know if you guys are fans of Sriracha. It's that garlicky paste sauce, which is absolutely delicious.
I love it. It's on everything.
I put it on every Top Ramen soup.
Eggs. Mm. Oh, yeah.
Sriracha was asked to leave California because they didn't like the smell that it was putting in the air. Yeah. I'll be honest, man. That state is damn near... It is bankrupt. How many times now? So you're going to run all these industries out, all these mom and pops, and as soon as we do this and we start saying, hey, we're okay raising the prices $3. That's when the next year they come back in and say, hey, that $3 wasn't enough. We'll tell you what, we're going to go over the whole thing or we can raise it up another $1.25. And then we set ourselves into a blackmail situation in which who's actually getting screwed?
Mm-hmm.
It's the American public.
Yeah.
It costs less than a dollar and a half to produce a pack of cigarettes, and that's growing the tobacco, curing, fermenting, putting it in the tubes, including the price of the tubes, the pack itself, and the cellophane. Now here,
and union wages.
And union wages. So when you guys go to the store, and who's in California?
Right here.
Aaron.
Aaron, how much is a pack of smokes where you're at?
I couldn't even tell you, but I'm sure it's probably like close to $10 a pack now.
Yeah.
And they're like $6.50 here, so it's still high.
And they raise it all the time. And who's not saying anything? It's the American people that aren't showing up because they're so demonized.
Yeah. I lived, to elaborate on what you just said, I lived in Bradenton, Florida for a while. And I don't have the greatest sense of smell. And one day I almost got sick inside my house. And I was like, what the fuck is that? And the dogs were going nuts. And so I tried to fight through it.
Huh? Dead hooker?
No, not, okay. Not that time. It was a different time. It's a different story, Brandon.
Okay.
A little for Brady.
So then the dog had to go outside and went outside, and it was even worse. The smell just hit me so freaking hard. And what it was that Tropicana orange juice is based out of Bradenton, Florida. And they burn the orange peels like twice a year, and that's what was going on. And it made me sick to my stomach. So I had a friend that was from Bradenton. I'm bitching about it. I'm like, man, it sucks. They gotta give this up, man. And he's like, do you realize, like, Tropicana employs 8,000 people in Bradenton? And I went, oh, I'm sorry. You know, so I'll just put up with the smell because I don't want 8,000 people to lose their jobs just because of one day of smell twice a year.
Yeah.
But that's because I have a brain and I think about other people and a heart, you know.
I worry about me.
Me too. I worry about you too.
Thank you.
All right, so to the next talking point, here's number 7 on the list here. Does not have any characterizing flavor other than tobacco.
So there goes Drew Estate.
There goes Drew Estate. There goes
CAO flavors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Done.
Tatiana, I guess.
Would cognac
how do you draw a line of that?
Right.
What was that?
How do you draw a differentiating line like that? You know, that's... What do you define as tobacco taste and flavor?
Yeah, exactly.
You can't substantiate that.
Well, it goes back to the enticing of kids to smoke them because they taste good. But you have to be 18 to even walk into a cigar store.
Yeah.
So, and like you said earlier, you're drinking a watermelon something ale. I wouldn't drink it myself because I'm a man, but my kids love watermelon.
So they're going to probably drink that beer now.
Yeah, they're going to be like, oh, watermelon beer, that sounds delicious now that I can't have a grape blunt.
Well, you know, I thought about this one, and I said, well, if I review a cigar and I say it tastes like cocoa and pepper, mm-hmm. right? Suddenly, if the FDA looks at that, they say, well, it doesn't have a tobacco characterizing tobacco flavor. So that's kind of where I was going with
no,
that.
No, I agree with you on that one. Yeah. That's scary stuff.
Think about what that would do to the bloggers on how afraid they would be to give their own personal opinions on what a cigar tastes like.
Tastes like tobacco.
This tastes like a tobacco cigar to
me. Tobacco delicious.
I honestly don't think they would take it that far, but it does open up a can of worms.
Yeah, totally.
I would assume it would be limited to, you know, additives that intentionally change. I mean,
what about sweetened tip cigars? You know, there's a lot of them. They're still tobacco cigars.
The Baccarat. The Baccarat has that.
I know a lot of guys would be really pissed off if they lost their Black and Milds.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then the last
Black and Milds are definitely going to be.
Well, Aaron, you're in Oakland, right?
I'm Bay Area. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's a lot of people like Black and Milds out there.
Yeah, definitely. But that's the exact demographic I think that they're trying to go after. So,
you know, you take away tobacco, what do you have? You got a bunch of frustrated people that aren't going to have an outlet.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, man. Cigars, if you have a cigar, if you have an hour of your day and you have a cigar, you make it the best hour of your day.
Yeah. Lowers your blood pressure because you're calm now. You're relaxed.
We said it over and over again. Cigars are our yoga, you know?
Yeah.
That's what they are. They calm me down. I get centered when I smoke a cigar. They take that away from me, I'm going to be
you're going to be an even bigger dick than you are now.
Exactly.
They're my way of getting out of my honeydew list at the house. My wife will come in and she's like, hey, will you do this? And I'm like, yeah, let me finish this stick.
And then you fire up another one.
Yeah. Right after.
You know, I agree with you 100%, but I don't think the argument holds water with our state and federal legislatures, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Totally agree. But what does, really?
It's really, and the one, I really do think that the one ray of hope that I see in all of this is I think a lot of the younger generation. And I'll go ahead, and then, even though I just had a big birthday, I'll include myself in the younger generation.
Me too.
We have a pretty wide libertarian streak, and we're not single issue voters in general. And I really do think that an age of embracing more personal accountability for your decisions is coming up, because, you know, I think what we've seen in the last really half century is just in general American citizens wanting freedom, kind of, you know, a little bit of freedom, but no accountability. It's to say, you know, it's almost like I look at, you know, I come from kind of West Virginia area, and you know they love coal in that state. Coal is king in West Virginia.
How's that doing?
You know, down in Charleston, when you've got chemicals that leach into that leach into the river, and all of a sudden nobody can drink water. Then it's, well, where the hell were the regulations that let people put their chemical tanks right next to the river? You know, it's very reactionary, and it's always after the fact. You know, it's always after something bad happens that we look to blame. And I guess people are trying to be more proactive with tobacco regulation, but where I see appropriate regulation for tobacco is in general information. And the problem when you're talking about cigarettes versus cigars, people try to put tobacco all in one category,
mm-hmm.
and the problem with that is if you guys have ever tried to do some Google searches, I mean I'm not a professional researcher, but I do some general Google searches. You cannot find solid research about, you know, premium cigar smoking, pipe smoking, anything, because it's all lumped together. And we fall into then this category, and this is where I just cannot believe the condemnation of e-cigarettes or vaping, whatever you want to call it. I don't do it. I think it's a bit queer, but I apologize. Anybody on here vapes? I'm sorry. That was rude.
Watermelon beer guy.
Hey, try that watermelon ale. I bought it last year because I like the brewery. I think you would change your mind. It's very good. Not
I
sweet.
Have a question. Do your shirts match your shorts?
But I lost my train of thought. So what I was getting at was the
my world.
The e-cigarette issue. all right?
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm totally lost. Where does anybody know where I was? I really had a good point.
Yeah, you were
in your backyard next to no grass.
You're saying you don't understand. You said that you think the e-cigarettes are kind of faggy, and you were going somewhere.
I'm sorry. Thank you. I've got it now. And this is where I look at it, and it's just completely ridiculous, this demonization of e-cigarettes, when, okay, there very well may be long-term health consequences. I mean, obviously, putting a chemical in your body, whatever it is, mm-hmm. is probably over time going to affect you, whether positively or negatively. It will have some effects. Most likely, it's not totally natural. It could have potential negative effects over time. But yeah. The issue to me is weighing the alternatives, and that's what we don't do. Because you say, oh, well, let's get rid of these e-cigarettes because they're harmful. Lots of stuff is harmful. And what they don't do, it's this abstinence-only mentality. And we see how well that works with, you know, sex education and other things.
Yeah.
You know, an abstinence-only approach, be it tobacco or sex, is not going to work. And I think it's time to say, you know what, here's a safer alternative. Okay, of course, it's not safe. But then the same thing with cigars. Obviously, I mean, I haven't done the research, I don't know, but if I had to put my money down, I would say that, no, this probably isn't the healthiest thing I could be doing with my hour. But I make that choice for myself, and I would like to see more disclosure. So I'm okay with the, if you're going to put flavors or chemical additives in a cigar, tell me, because I'd like to know, because frankly, a personal choice would be to avoid that. But sorry, thanks for letting me rant for so long.
The thing about this is that 100% of cigar smokers will die. So will 100% mm-hmm. of non-smokers. 100% of the people that drink water will die. You know, there's no way to get out of this. And the image that's put forth is, if you don't smoke, you're going to live forever. You know?
Yeah.
Only people that die are the smokers. And, you know, when you put it like that, I agree with you 100%. But you got to remember that, you know, this country wasn't founded so that the government could make choices for us. This country was founded so that we could break free from English imperial rule.
Yeah.
I mean, you got the Clive and Bunn, I know that's a whole different ball of wax. But you have our government that's coming down on us in every aspect of our life. I mean, when you think about buying things, hotel rooms. My hotel rooms on average cost me $117, but then I got $25 of tax. It really doesn't come down to anything about public concern of safety. It's creating a straw man to have a reason to increase the taxes. And, you know, once again, going back to that separate and attack thing, please forgive me, gentlemen.
No, go ahead.
Our government was designed to stay out of our business.
Right.
If I want to smoke crack cocaine, as long as I'm not hurting anybody else, I should be allowed to smoke crack cocaine. Not that I would. On occasion. But, you know, I just think that as Americans, we should have the freedoms to choose whether or not. We all know cigarettes are dangerous. We all know that driving a car is dangerous.
We all know that cheeseburgers are dangerous.
We all know there's a good chance that if we get on a plane from Malaysia, no one's ever going to find us again.
I love it, though.
So the thing about cocaine brings up an interesting point. I live in Colorado, which, you know, they just recently, everyone knows, legalized marijuana. And everyone was freaking out about it for so long here, and really nothing has changed.
Well, your screen is green.
Yeah.
You've been smoking a lot of it.
That's just the internet. It's gone green over there.
I mean, the only side effect so far has been that our school systems actually have a little money now. My wife's a school teacher, and you know, things are looking up here. And there's been no deaths because of marijuana here. There's been nothing has happened, and it just proves that regulation on stuff like that is a joke.
Well, what's funny is that in Colorado, your tax on marijuana is 25%. Your tax on a cigar is 40%.
Wow. Yeah.
Tell me that this product is so wrong that it deserves less of a tax than the thing that built this country.
Yeah. Well, I made the joke, but it's serious. I was talking to Pedro earlier. Pedro's here. That heart disease kills far more people than lung cancer. And yet, what causes heart disease? Obesity. They'll say cigars, but the number one cause of heart disease is obesity. And what causes obesity? It's $5 supersized meals at McDonald's. But yet they're not going to go after that. It's the fact that they're just targeting us as cigar smokers when there's such a much bigger fish to be landed if they really are trying to look out for us. And by the way, I don't want the government to look out for me.
Yeah.
No. That's my job. That's my friend's job.
That's my job as a parent to look out for my kids.
Yeah.
That's my wife's absolutely. Job.
Make sure I don't eat too much because she wants me looking good for the beach.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, she don't want to be with you if you look like a if you look like Brandon.
I look like a manatee.
hit me up, dog. It's fine.
I think you're right to a point, but kind of taking the opposite view a little bit. I mean, without the FDA, before then, I mean, people were eating feces in their food and rat shit. And I mean, the FDA does do good in the world, and without them, a lot of bad things would be happening. So.
Okay.
The market.
Okay,
some regulation is fine.
Yeah, and see, but that's the thing where you say some regulation is fine. It's always after the fact, and that's what blows me away when you have an E. coli outbreak, and then all of a sudden you see Fox News pundits saying, "Where's our FDA?" and for you know doing this, but yet again, you know, people don't want to fund the FDA.
And then you look
people
at
don't want them sticking their nose at. Oh well, you're gonna hurt agriculture if you regulate this until there's an E. coli outbreak or until your coal mining chemicals leach into the river and your water becomes toxic.
But E. coli is so different than what we're talking about. And I've been supporting you all episode, Kirk, so now fuck you.
No, in the neck. Look at what the FDA is putting their attention to. So back in the 80s, right, FDA did like 40,000 different investigations of, you know, food products, and that's where a lot of these regulations came from. How many have they done in the past couple of years? Like 9,000? Yeah. What are they doing with their time? They're not doing what they're
They're very firm.
Yeah.
And I think what we're talking about is what most stuff comes down to in law, and it's the argument of reasonableness, which is different for each individual as far as what is reasonable, what is not.
Mm-hmm.
Well spoken, sir.
I mean, there's a reason we don't die from the food we eat. It's because of the FDA. So, I mean, they do good, but I think in this case, I think ultimately this is really scary and... You know, everyone's going to freak out about it, but I think in the end, they're going to go with option two, and I think there's going to be adjustments to it, and I think in the long run, it's going to be fine.
I agree.
I like your positivity, but I'm kind of on the opposite end of that. I don't
worry.
So at all.
I think if we have 75 days to react to it and we don't, you're not going to see very much change to that.
Yeah, the thing is that you do have to take action to make sure that option two is what happens.
I heard Rocky Patel on Cigar Dave.
Yeah,
yesterday.
Yeah,
we listened. And I don't know if you heard it yesterday. I think he gave a quote to Cigar Aficionado, but what he said in Cigar Dave was very interesting. They were surprised that happened. They were expecting to get the exemption, and they thought they had enough political clout on that.
Yeah, did.
Yeah, so it was a surprise, and my gut tells me anti-tobacco, maybe there was an underestimation of how strong anti-tobacco people were working behind the scenes as well. So I want to be optimistic, but, you know, anti-tobacco is well-funded in this country.
Mm-hmm. Matt, said, Matt went to D.C. twice, maybe three times last year, and we were convinced we had a majority in the House that there was no way that this was, that actually they had proposed a bill, IPCPR or CRA, I can't remember, had proposed a bill that would exclude us. And we had a majority in the House that were going to sign on to that bill. So it is shocking that wound up happening.
Well, I think what happened, though, when the new Congress came in place in 2013, they had to reset the bills, and everything started over again.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not at that working majority. And I think had this deeming document come down 2 years ago when we had the majority, it may have been a different story.
Yeah.
But we don't have the majority yet, and they're at, like, 154 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not – they still got some work to do there.
I agree. I'm still, if I'm going to be optimistic, I'm going to be optimistic big time. It's kind of like if I'm going to fantasize, I'm fantasizing about the hottest chick in the world as opposed to my next door neighbor. I'm going to hope that it just, they realize the ridiculousness of it and then shelve it for at least another couple of years.
It'll be next year. If this doesn't go through this year, they'll push it next year. It's just the obsessive compulsive nature of our government.
Yeah.
They want what they want. They have the money that's backing it. The straw man they have is perfect. You know, none of these people know anything about this actual industry itself.
Mm-hmm.
All they know are the factoids that they picked up off of the website of their choice or the website that they were instructed to read. And, you know, this isn't about free-thinking Americans. All right, when you go back to Prohibition, like we brought up earlier, Prohibition actually passed because of a relatively small amount of Americans who were very, very pushy, and a large amount of Americans who were exceptionally lazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, we just, you know, the whole thing about the, you know, these podcasts, you know, these guys having me on, I mean, there's more than just us sitting here talking about it. You know, we got to get people motivated. You know, so what if that website takes 10 minutes to let these people know we don't appreciate them? You know, we have to do this stuff.
Yep.
I mean, this isn't just my, you know, honestly, I don't know what I'd do if I left this industry. I love this industry. I love all the people that are in this industry. Mm-hmm. I've got a great amount of history. Actually, this guy sitting next to me, I have more history with this guy than I do just about anybody else going back to the beginning, and the fact that he still talks to me, I'm very, very appreciative of.
That's a long story there, but yeah.
Bastard.
I'm joking. No, Brandon's a good dude, and it wasn't your fault. Well, I'll never blame you for that.
I know. But now he has to register with his neighbors. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Oh, man. On a different episode, when we have you on, we'll talk that story, because it's a funny story. But anyway, yeah, but get off, you know, if you like this and you want to do it, you want to go to your B&Ms and enjoy a smoke, go to the website, spend the 10, 15 minutes, whatever it takes, send an email to your congressman and women so it can be PC there.
Tell your friends about it, anybody that mooches a cigar off you and doesn't know how to smoke it, who cares, get them to go there too and do it.
Yeah, before you hand it to them, go, hey, I'll give you a cigar, but I need you to do me a favor.
Yeah.
Take 10 minutes, and if they're not going to do that, you don't give them a cigar.
Right.
I mean, tell them it's the most...
Huge cigar mooch.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
When I pull up to his farm, he comes out and he's like, Brian, good to see you. Big hugs. Let me help you carry all your stuff in. And then he picks everything up and puts it in his pockets and hands me back in an empty bag.
Nice.
I mean, okay. We got to find ways to work this so people understand that, you know, I don't care if you've got a walk-in humidor at the house. You know, I mean, just because you'll have cigars last you the rest of your life. I mean, there's guys out there, you know, that are huffing it, that are working every day, and then that one day of the week they have off, they're going to the cigar lounge. I mean, what are you going to do when these places of free thinking go on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I travel across, right now it's 9 states, and I have walked in to cigar lounges, and I have seen the most hardcore of the left, the most hardcore of the right, people of different races that truly dislike each other. I've seen arguments that I thought were going to escalate into straight-up fist fights. But at the end of it, it always ends up with, hey, man, you want another cigar? I got you. What do you want while I'm up?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can understand why the government would truly want to get rid of these places because of how canonized that, or polarized, forgive me, how polarized the American people are right now. You know, let's be honest, man, a cigar lounge is the last, you know, one of the last refuges where you can go in, state your opinion. The other guy might call you a motherfucker. But at the end of the day, he's going to respect your opinion because you were both having a cigar on your day off.
Nice. Yeah.
Well said.
Well put. Coop, you got anything?
It's the most important 75 days in the history of the cigar industry in this country, without question.
Yep.
Without question. The other thing is just, you know, I want to kind of, can I make a point about the e-cigarette piece?
Yeah. Go for it.
Well, so if you know, you know, well, we're cigar geeks, cigar geeks, I'll say here, but... You know, it was amazing how mainstream media spun this thing on Thursday where, if you don't follow some of the cigar industry stuff, you looked at those reports and you thought it was all e-cigarettes. And I had several people who I smoke with, and I wouldn't say they follow the industry very closely, but they like their cigars. They came in and said, hey, it was good. The government, they're going after e-cigarettes. Isn't that, you know, wasn't that great? I said, well, you obviously don't know that cigars were a part of that.
Yeah, that happened to me. That happened to me. I was at Stogie's in Houston and was waiting for the owner of the shop to show up, and they had Fox News on, and the ticker, the blurb on the bottom said FDA sets out to ban 18-year-old and under, whatever, with e-cigs, and that's all it said. And I turned, because I didn't know, because I was on the road, I turned to my friend and I said, oh, cool, they left cigars alone. Wasn't until I got back here and read Emmett's thing and went, what the fuck?
So it's important. It's very important that you go into your cigar shops, your tobacconist, and it's every tobacconist should be educating every single customer who walks into their store right now.
Exactly. It should be a requirement to purchase cigars, smoke cigar in that lounge.
Yep. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, a couple of years ago when the state of Texas was trying to impose a smoking ban, we had an event here, and Matt had a laptop set up here in the lounge, and before you got your free cigar, you had to go on there and voice your opinion on the smoking ban. We made people do that.
Yeah.
Might have to do that again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that goes back to what we talked about, a 241-page document where they attack one thing and roll in a bunch of other crap. Mm-hmm. And people mm-hmm. don't realize that, you know. So we've got to make sure that they do. And that they take action.
I think it's our responsibility as cigar media people to, I think we should try and get the word out to make it easy for people to comment on this. And we should all be posting, you know, an easy link to where people can give feedback. I think something we should all do.
Absolutely. I
couldn't agree more. Absolutely.
What? And if you're not, you know, I tell, this is not a time to worry about being pushy or not. This is survival mode we're in right now.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah, this is serious stuff.
Our backs are against the wall on this one. That's for sure.
For sure.
Every great conversation, every great friend that I have started over a cigar. When I met my wife's father, we were just started dating, and I walked in.
You dated your wife's father?
he's got a nice cigar. I actually, my wife's father was a 3-time Pro Bowler for the Houston Oilers. My brother-in-law, was a 3rd-round draft pick for the Kansas City Chiefs. I grew up actually playing rock guitar. Before my hair fell out and I had kids, I was kick-ass. I walk into this farm, and her dad is 6'5". He's about 67 years old. And he walks up to me, and he goes, "Jan, good work. You brought home a big one." And as he's going to slap me on the back, he goes, "Who'd you play college ball for?" And I said, "Actually, sir, I was in rock bands." His arm went straight to the ground, right? So he goes over in the corner, and they're having this family argument, and I can see him over there, and his arms are going up like this at the sides. I can't hear what they're saying, but I could just imagine, "Why did you bring home this loser?" Mm-hmm. So I thought, what do you do when people are talking bad about you, Bran? What do?
You right beat, kill them with kindness.
I thought, no, you go out on the patio and you have a cigar and a scotch and these people can go fuck themselves.
Nice.
So I go out on the patio and he's got 3 ponds and I'm watching like deer run across. I'm watching bass flip over on the water. And I'm thinking, well, Bran, I hope you enjoy this view because you're never going to see it again. Yeah. And all of a sudden the door opens and it's my wife's father. Man, I'm not good with family stuff. I'm Freudian like crazy.
Your tonight, wife's right? husband.
And he goes, "You got another cigar in there?" And I said, "Yeah, it's in the bag next to the scotch." So, of course, he pours himself 2 fingers of my scotch and empties out half the bottle. He gets a Padron 25 and he sits on the right of me. We're out there for about 10 minutes. He doesn't say a word to me, period. Because at this point, he thinks I'm some musician loser. Mm-hmm. Why did you bring home a non-sports guy? A few minutes later, the door opens up again. It's my wife's brother. I said it right that time.
Wow.
"You got a cigar?" "Yeah, it's in the bag next to the scotch." And he sits on my left side. We sat there for about an hour. Not one word is spoken. We're just drinking scotch, trying to think. We have no common ground. None. None at all. And finally, my father-in-law looks over at me and he goes, "What do you do?" I said, "I'm a cigar rep." And he looked at me and he was like, "You know, Bran, you seem like a good guy. This is one of the best cigars I've ever had." I mean, let's be honest. We all connect over cigars. We have so many great stories that start or finish with a cigar.
Yeah.
And we need to make sure that these stories and these open invitations of friendship never go away.
Yeah.
Well said.
80% of the friends I have are cigar people that I've met through this store, actually.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, so we're coming up on an hour, guys. Anybody got anything they want to promote before we go?
Yeah. House of Emilio. Home of the finest boutique blends. I'm talking the greatest tobaccos. Ezra Zion, everything 6 to 14 years old, double grade A, absolutely delicious. Nomad, keep asking for it, people. You know what I'm talking about. Fred Rui, one of the greatest Americans I've ever known in my life, and he has a beautiful mullet. Guayacan, awesome sticks, absolutely boutique, real clean. Got a nice strength to them, great price point, and then always ask, "Hey, where's your Epicurean line?" And I'm Brandon Holsworth, and that's all I have to say about this. Bam!
Blow me up, dog! Blind Man's Puff, you guys got anything to pump? Pump. That's the word I'm looking for.
You dated your father, too. Ring
plug.
Nothing particular to plug. I think Aaron's frozen again.
At least he's got
We'll keep up with the info on this, and I'll make an effort to post an easy way for our readers to voice their opinions as well.
Yes, so please for sure. Yeah, please go to Blind Man's Puff and keep abreast of the situation.
Mm-hmm. Am I the only one that keeps adjusting themselves so their second chin doesn't kick out?
Why do you think I held my head up?
My beard covers mine.
That's why I have facial hair, yeah.
Kirk, you got anything to plug?
Not really. Just join the CRA if you haven't, if you have the means. If you don't, you know, earlier I mentioned talking to friends and family as being important, and I do think that it is. But that I didn't mean to say that you shouldn't also reach out to your lawmakers. I think that's equally important. And, you know, do what you can. And the other thing I would suggest is when you have these conversations with non-smokers, don't be a dick about it. Always remember that you're an ambassador to the cigar community. And the other point that I want to make, you know, if you're going to smoke a cigar in public, and I think this goes with it too, it's the broader picture of the way that smokers are perceived. You know, if you're at a restaurant on a patio where, you know, ask your server if you're allowed to have a cigar, if they mind. Yeah. And if you have people around you at, adjacent tables, ask them if they mind. That's my thing. Don't be an asshole smoker, because you know what?
Right.
If you don't smoke cigars, then it stinks. And I think that's a fair opinion to have. I like the smell. Others don't. It can be obtrusive. Basically, that's all. That's my finishing thought. Just be a good ambassador to the cigar community, and I think everything will be all right.
And also, if you're smoking a cigar, you should keep your feet in a pool, a drink in your hand, and a cigar in your mouth.
Well, only if you want to be truly happy.
That's true. All right, Coop, you got anything to plug?
Obviously, on Cigar Coop, we'll continue to have extensive coverage of this whole FDA thing as there's more responses that come from the community, so expect to just continue to see that on our news. I'll plug something of interest to Brandon on Thursday on Stogie Geeks. We are actually doing... we have a studio up in Rhode Island where the rest of the Stogie Geeks are, and we are going to be featuring... he won't be in the studio, but Enrique Sanchez-Acasa will be our special guest. And we're actually doing an in-studio event, so if anyone's up in Rhode Island, come on up, and there'll be some 1502 cigars, and you can watch the show live, and we'll have Enrique dialed in through the video.
That ruby that he has is absolutely fantastic. Nice spice, good medium plus body, just
nice.
Delicious.
Nice.
Yep.
So keep abreast with the Cigar Coop and Blind Man's Puff.
Mm-hmm. Listen to Stogie Geeks and watch it. Good show.
And Pulse Cigar Reviews, I'm sure we'll address this again. I know we'll address it again. But be sure you go out and do your part, people. And I want to address one more aspect. I touched on it earlier, but not just cigar smokers. Retailers need to be fighting as well. I mean, you're going to lose your business. You're going to lose a lot of business. So retailers really need to be involved in this.
Yeah, for sure.
Unless you want to be saying hi to people, welcome to Walmart.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, amen.
Would you like fries with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys, so we're going to shut her down. I want to thank you for all your opinions on this subject, and please, let's all be proactive and make sure we let everybody know about what's going on. It's been great smoking with you guys.
See you later, Brandon.
You too.
Have a good one, everybody.
Thank you.
Have a good one.